I'd like you to open your Bibles at Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And we're going to read at verse 35. Mark 4, 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The Lord will add a blessing upon the public reading of his very own precious word. What I'm going to say here, you'll have to come back next month when I'm here again in the will of the Lord, because what I've got to say, I usually take about 3 weeks to say it. So if I want to come back, I want to finish on time. If I'm going to get an invitation to come back, I better finish on time. So you'll have to come back next week. If any of you get the CMML magazine, the missions magazine from New Jersey, what I'm going to say here is in the magazine this month. I had a few phone calls telling me, and a lady here already has told me that she's read the article. But when you write for CMML, they kind of edit it or take things out of it. So I had a lot to say, but they wouldn't print it all because they said it would take too many pages of their magazine. And I can understand that. But I trust that what I say will be a help and an encouragement to you, young and old alike. I never spoke on Mark 4 for about 7 or 8 years, because the last time I spoke on Mark 4 of a storm situation, I finished up in a literal storm situation. And you and I are living our lives in this world. It's but a short life. But storms will come and storms will go. Sometimes we call them problems. There will always be problems because of who and what we are, the way that we were born. But problems sometimes is not the problem. It's how we handle the problem. And we got to understand and to realize that in every circumstance of life, in the life of the believer, we have Christ in the boat. And storms will come and storms will go. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. The last time that I spoke on this before, like 7 or 8 years ago, it was in Middlesex, New Jersey. And I was given an encouragement to the people of God that in a storm situation, and if there's a storm in your life, remember that Christ is in the boat. Many preachers will tell you that very often when we stand at the podium and we give a message, the very words that we speak, the message that we deliver, we're challenged on. Maybe within 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 years, but very often we're challenged with our own words. And very often we give encouragement to other people, and little do we know that the encouragement we've just shared was for ourselves. And I left the Middlesex Gospel Chapel that night about 7 or 8 years ago, and I came to the host home where I was staying. And the phone rang, and it was my wife, Mary. It was to tell me that our 27-year-old son, then at that time, who was not sick, who never complained, who hardly went to a doctor, was for cancer surgery the next morning. Boy, was I in a storm situation. I had just finished the message of Christ in the storm, in the boat, delivered it to the people of God, hoping that I would be an encouragement to someone. Little did I know that I needed my own message, the own words, my own words, to encourage me. I sat in that home and I felt very strong. I guess I'm a little bit older now, but coming from the north of Ireland, you know, the meetings are first. You never miss the meeting. You never cancel the meeting. Even when my dear old uncle died in the middle of a campaign in Ireland, they wouldn't cancel a meeting. The meetings must go on. And so I went home that night to the house and I got the news that my son was for cancer surgery. They said, Billy, you'll have to return. It was just the second night of a week of gospel meetings, a gospel campaign. And I thought, well, we can't cancel the meetings. And I thought that I would be strong. And I said, no. They said, no, you better go home and join your wife. I said, no, we can't. We must preach. We have to continue. Probably younger and foolish. And then, me thinking that I have all the strength and confidence, one of the sons came in about 30 minutes later. He put his hand on my shoulder and he squeezed my shoulder and he said, Billy, I'm sorry to hear that news. And when he did that, I fell to pieces and cried like a baby. He left and came back in about 15 minutes and he said, Billy, we're not asking you to return. We've booked you on a flight from Newark International Airport to Chicago O'Hare to meet your wife, and two of you are going together to Arkansas to be with your son. Christ was in the boat. What a remarkable thing it was. The last time that I was here, I was in another storm. I was in a literal storm. I had left here and I had went to India. And before I had went to India, some of you know that I was driving to Florida on I-75 just south of Atlanta, Georgia, when I realized that something was wrong with my vehicle. As I looked through the rearview mirror, I could see nothing and I thought it was spray. It was a literal thunderstorm. The sky was lit up with blue flashes of lightning. And I didn't realize at that time that the spray behind me was not spray from the rain and the water. It was smoke. And when I saw it coming from below my hood, I could look out and I could see all the gauges seemed okay. There seemed to be nothing wrong, nothing overheating. And there was an exit and I pulled off. And I was going to head to the gas station about 50 yards away. Thank God I didn't make it to the gas station. As soon as I got to the top of the ramp, my car just was engulfed in flames. And I thought, here I am in a literal storm. And another storm. I'd lost a Bible one time when a car was stolen when I was doing some meetings over in Detroit. And I lost that Bible, and I've never been able to replace that Bible. It was the first Bible that I ever had, and there were things in that Bible that I loved. And the first thing as I watched that car burn, I said to myself, get the Bible. Get your Bible. And foolishly I went back four or five times and retrieved what I could from the car. Oh yes, I was scared and probably foolish. I said to a man who had pulled up, I said, do you think I could make it in again? He said, you might, but you might not get out. I said, but there's a wonderful tape in there I've got to get. And I went in and I got the tape. Foolishly, probably. There was another storm, but you know something? Christ was in the boat. Many had come up and looked and walked away. And I was standing there like a drowned rat in the thunderstorm when one man came up and he said, what you have salvaged is going to be destroyed with the rain. Get into my truck and I'll take you to a hotel. I said, okay. I got into his truck when I got permission from a policeman to go. And he said, what do you do and where are you going? I said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm an evangelist. I'm heading to Florida to start meetings tomorrow. Oh, he said, well, praise the Lord. I said, you got to be a Christian. He said, yes. I belong to the First Baptist Church in Cordele, Georgia. He took me into the foyer of the hotel. He introduced me to the owner of the motel, the Ramada Inn, and the owner introduced himself and said, I also fellowship in the First Baptist Church in Cordele. When I got into the motel room, I called the State Farm agent, and I don't get commission from State Farm. And what a wonderful help they were, or he was, to me. Then they asked me something. And being a conservative with a conservative background, I've changed a little bit now. I guess I'm a wee bit, little bit wiser. Because if I had done what I'd done at this time, they would have probably stuck me in the back seat, put me out of fellowship for a little while, where I fellowship in Ireland. But I called the State Farm agent, and he said, I can't do nothing because of the flooding. We can't do nothing. And then this man that brought me from the roadside said, would you like to go to church in the morning? I said, do you know something? I would love to go to your Baptist church. And I went. And I had a wonderful time. As soon as I sat down, the man in front of me turned round and he said, I am the State Farm agent. I also fellowship at the First Baptist Church. Christ was in the boat, in the storm. There's nothing like the people of God. I have a friend in Chicago, and he always reminds me of this, that we Christians are the best of a bad bunch. That's by the grace of God. When we sang those wonderful hymns on God's grace this morning, I would have loved to have changed my message and preached on the grace of God. But I wanted to share this with you. Christ was in the boat. My friend Joe Gallagher in Middlesex Chapel, New Jersey, he walked into the hospital over a year ago, 13 months, maybe 14 months ago. They decided he needed heart bypass surgery. He walked in to the hospital. Today, Joe Gallagher is still on his back. He has not got any further than intensive care. Pneumonia, staph infection, pneumonia, another staph infection, pneumonia, and on and on and go. He hasn't been able to communicate with his family for 10 or 12 of those months. He hasn't eaten solid foods now for one whole year. He's on a respirator, and his wife, when I go and I visit the hospital and I stand at his bedside, she says, Billy, I don't understand why God is not answering our prayers. I don't understand why. And I said to Betty, take courage, Betty, because no matter what circumstance, remember, Christ is in the boat. But why my husband? I said, Betty, did you ever think of it like this? That the Lord loves your husband so much that he wants him. Because he belongs to the Lord. Because the Lord bought your husband with his own blood. But maybe, Betty, you don't want your husband to go home to be with the Lord. My father has been diagnosed with cancer. I feel sorry for my dad. He's in a storm. But I have asked the Lord, thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful years that you've let me have him. Now, Lord, if you want him, please take him, but don't let him suffer. And the cancer that he has is one of the worst that you can have for pain and suffering. But when I talked to him yesterday, he was laughing. In the midst of the pain and agony, he was laughing. And always, always gives glory to the Lord in whatever circumstance he finds himself in. And the person of the Lord Jesus, he is in the boat. And we've heard so many times, and I'll say it over and over and over again, I would rather be in a storm with Christ than in a calm without Christ. I've told people, and I listened to that report from our young brother, and I often tell people, be careful how you pray. I've often told people how I prayed, Lord, break me and make me more like your son. That breaking process is a difficult road. The circumstances might be rough and tough. Sometimes we pray, Lord, save that dear one of mine. No matter what it takes, Lord, draw them to yourself. Do we know what we're praying? And then when something tragic happens, and the circumstance and the storm comes, well, why, Lord? Well, after all, I've just asked you, Lord, no matter what, save the soul of my loved one, of my dear friend. But the joy is this. In the circumstance of the believer's life, Christ is in the boat. Let me just say for a moment in passing, there's another storm that is coming, and it's called the judgment of God. And the judgment of God is coming upon all who reject his lovely son. It's not a matter of joining a church. It's not a matter of living a good life. It's a matter of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to be in the storm. If you come to Jesus Christ, he is our shelter in a time of storm. And he endured the wrath and took the judgment of a holy God for our sins, sins not his own. So all the unbeliever has to do is simply by faith look to Calvary and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. You do that if you're not saved in the meeting today, and you'll miss the storm of the wrath of God's judgment. Literal storm. You know, some people have the wrong impression of preachers. We preachers, we come and we stand at the podium. And I've went out and someone has said to me, you know, you look just like an angel. Huh, I'm no angel, believe me. I look down and some of you do, you look like angels. You would do no wrong. And you never get angry. And you always do what the wife asks you to do. And when the notice goes into the bulletin, men to work, you don't reply because you say, well, right now I might be 60, but I'm a boy. It says men. I wouldn't put men. I would say all able-bodied males turn up next Saturday. That includes everybody. And I think when somebody told me, Billy Stevenson, why do these things happen to you? And when my car was burning, I called my wife. And she said, you know, Billy, already some people are asking, why you? I said, well, you tell them. What I am going through is nothing in comparison to what Paul the Apostle went through, and Peter, and John, what they went through, all because of their love for Jesus Christ and the spreading of the gospel, even to the loss of their own life. When Paul the Apostle was not only in a Roman dungeon or shipwrecked on an island, but on the Appian Way, he was decapitated for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in all my circumstances, I think I'm still pretty well off. God has been good. And in some of these circumstances that I find myself, they might look negative. They might be things that I don't like, and I want to be out of the storm. Then I turn and I say, thank you, God, for bringing me through that trial. Because it becomes more real. I wouldn't want to go to India. I couldn't put all the words in the magazine, on the article, in the missions magazine. I didn't want to go to India. When I was here last year, I didn't want to go to India, believe me. I couldn't share with anyone what was going on in my life, in my mind. I couldn't share it. Not even with my wife, because I wanted to protect her. I didn't want her to have the worry and the agony when I would get on that plane and leave her in Chicago. So I had to take it myself and bear it. I called her from Florida after I left here, after my car burned, and I said, "Mary, call Virginia. And if the airline tickets are not booked, then tell them I can't go." I had been to the doctor. I wasn't feeling good. He thought maybe of a serious disease. Thank the Lord it wasn't that. But something was happening in my life. Now we stand here, don't we, and we always look good. The preachers, we always look good. Oh, look at, I wish I was like him. He has no problems. Not just me, but all the preachers. And sometimes maybe we give that impression. But believe me, let me tell you this, my friend, pray for preachers. Because we are no different to you. The enemy is still the same. The enemy never changes. And the enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the enemy will never, ever change. The attack of the evil one, his ways and methods might change, and Harry attacks you and me. But the world and the flesh and the devil, we will have to battle every day until the Lord comes and takes us home. Oh, how many times now I've met young Christians, even after I've given a message, and older ones, even to a man of 90, who has called me on the phone and he said, "Billy, I heard your words. Please help me." A man of 90 for many, many years, help me. I've had a lady just not a few weeks ago come up and cry after I shared these words and these incidents with her. She says, "Billy, I'm going through that right now." A lady whose grandfather and great-grandfather, her brothers, mother, father, all in assembly fellowship throughout the years. She herself, a Christian, saved from a very young girl, and now about 60 years of age, and she said, "I'm in a storm situation." We can have physical storms, financial storms, spiritual storms. I wonder, is there one right now and you're in a storm situation? It's not very difficult to find one who is not in a storm. Physical, financial, mental, spiritual storm situations. But again, let me say, take courage, because Christ is in the boat. And I'd rather be in a calm and a storm with Christ than in a calm without Christ. Christ in the boat. So I go to Dulles International Airport, and I'm sitting at that airport. I didn't want to go to India. The devil was attacking me. And if any of you have went to airports and international flights, you'll know that at some times of the day, the international departure gates are empty. Sometimes the plane leaves very late or very early, but sometimes there's nobody about and the gate is closed. I went over, and again there was a literal storm as I flew from Chicago O'Hare to Dulles International in Washington, D.C. A literal storm. The airport had been closed twice that day. I was in a jumbo 747 with about 20 people on board. I had all the room that I wanted. Them's the kind of planes I like. But little did we know that twice the plane had tried to come in and it couldn't. Finally, we made it. My friend was to meet me at 2:30, but his plane was redirected into Virginia because they were circling so long they had ran out of fuel and they had to go back and land in another airport for refueling. So instead of meeting me at 2:30, he didn't meet me until about 5:30. But the Lord knew why. You see, I needed to be alone. And there, as I got off the plane, I headed straight for the international departure gate. Nobody there, even the coffee stand closed. But I needed that time alone. I called my wife. A row of phones on the wall, and I took this one and I set at the phone and I called my wife Mary and I give her the phone number. I said, "Mary, I need help." Even at this time, I couldn't tell her all that was in my mind.
because I wanted to protect her. Is there some like that in the meeting this morning? And I said, Mary, help me, pray with me, get the Christians to pray. You see, sometimes we ask for prayer, and sometimes we hear others ask for prayer, and we don't really sometimes realize that they really mean what they're saying. Please pray for us. And I said at that airport, and the devil said to me, you know something, Billy Stevenson? You're going on this plane to India, and that plane's going to crash. Now, I love flying. I love sailing. I love traveling, period. But the devil said, that plane is going to crash and you'll never see your family again. Then I said, the plane's not going to crash. And then he said, well, I'll tell you what. The schedule is so hectic, you're going to take a heart attack and you'll die in India and you'll never see your family again. Boy, was I in trouble. I was broken. I had tapes to take to the Indian people. Some were Bill McDonald's messages. I put one in the little cassette, put the headphones on, and I listened to the message. Then I opened my Bible, and I read Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Put on the whole armor of God. I opened my little case and I took out Dr. Harry Ironside's commentary on Ephesians 6, and especially verse 10. I shut off the tape recorder. I closed my Bible. And I closed the commentary. And I started to pray. I said, Lord, help me. And as I started to pray, the devil said to me then, and he used the greatest weapon that he's always used from the beginning of time. It's called the weapon of doubt. I never had it before. And the devil said, you know something? Maybe you're not even saved. Was I troubled? This was a spiritual storm. And I tell you, dear child of God, I wouldn't want anyone to go through it. I was broken. But as I put my hands together and bowed my head on that seat in that airport, I said, God, help me in this storm. You see, I couldn't share it with nobody else. I'm protecting my family from my feelings. But I said, Lord, you help me. And then I used the word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, Lord, I know I'm saved. Lord, now take me to India. No gain for me, for self, for anyone, in any which way at all. Just take me, Lord. And in simplicity with the little gift of what I've got, take me and use me for your glory. He did. And I enjoyed it so much, I went back again for the second time in January within a year. And before I left the first time, I said to my wife, if I get to India and get back, I will never be back in India again. You know what? I'm going back again in the will of the Lord for a third time. And you want to come with me, you're welcome. But it's a busy, hard, hectic schedule every day. But it's worth it all. Christ in the storm, in the boat. And we see here this man called Peter, and he's in a storm situation. And their faith was so weak. But this man, Peter, learned a lot of lessons. Now, my time is gone, and I can't go into any more.
But someone will ask the question, this has never happened to me. Why Billy Stevenson? Why doubting salvation? Why the attack of Satan? I've never heard of that before. Now, when I come back, I'll bring to you from Luke 22, and you can read it for yourself. When the Lord said to Peter, Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat. Is it any wonder then, when the Lord said, but, Peter, I have prayed for thee. I will pray for thee. And do you know something? The work of redemption is finished, is complete. But the Lord Jesus is still working for us, interceding at the right hand of the throne of God, praying for you and for me, Christian, interceding. And he said, Peter, I have prayed for thee. Is it any wonder then, after that, Peter could write the words in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Satan goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Brethren and sisters, let me tell you, the enemy is real. I have never met a child of God yet who has never had an experience with the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you're in a circumstance today, remember these words of Dr. Graham Scroggie as I close. Christ has not promised his people a smooth passage, but only a safe landing. In embarking on the Christian life, we are not guaranteed a sunlit sea, but rather are advised of a storm-tossed ocean. And it is far better to be in the storm with him than in a calm without him. So if you're in a storm today, be aware. May you know the nearness and the dearness of the risen Christ. May you know his presence in the storm, because he will never leave nor forsake you, child of God. And if you're not saved, my friend, get saved today, because the end is coming and the opportunity to be in heaven will be gone and gone forever. Today, now is the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee and speak to Thee in the name above every other name, the name Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus who loved us and gave Himself for us. And O God, we thank Thee, Father, as we've been reminded from the beginning of the grace of our God. Remember the words of one of old who said, my grace is sufficient for thee. We thank thee, Father, for that grace that saved us and the grace that keeps us. And we pray indeed, O God, that if there be one here today in a storm situation, O God, we pray that they would be aware of your presence in their life, in the circumstance right now. And if there's one not saved, O God, we pray that they might turn now to the Lord Jesus for salvation. So, Father, bless thy word to each of our hearts. Keep us in thy love and part us with thy blessing. For we ask it in the Savior's wonderful name. Amen. Could we sing in closing the verse of a hymn? 389, I think, is a very fitting hymn. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in a time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. 389, we sing the first and the last verses only, and our brother will come up and lead you in song, and thank you for your very, very kind attention, and may God bless you all richly. We love you. Thank you.